Happy NBA Draft Thursday, everybody. I'm Chris Williams here on today's Channel Seed podcast at CycloneFanatic.com. It is June 27th, 2013. I bring Adam Gray into the mix. Adam is just on his iPad surfing channel.com. Did you find a seedsman near you?
I did. I'm excited to be here today.
Well, that's good.
I am. I feel good about this podcast.
I'm really tired.
You look it. You got some coffee, though. Wake up a little bit.
I've had about a pot already. I'm looking at the computer right now. It's 10:17. I have taken down a pot already today.
I see.
I went to Kansas City.
Did you witness the best baseball team in the majors last night?
They didn't quite look like the best baseball team in the majors last night, nor ever. But, in our minds, the Atlanta Braves. That is the most frustrating team. It's a fun team to follow. Because it's like a total feast or famine thing. They're going to look like that team that you just talked about.
Yep.
One night, they are going to look like the best offensive team we've seen in 10 years in Major League Baseball. And then the next night, I mean, they're
12 strikeouts.
I mean, the wind picks up 15 miles per hour from all the whiffing that the Atlanta Braves do. I mean, it really is crazy to me how much that team strikes out. We knew it was going to be that way. But
yeah. Man. It's unbelievable. It's amazing how frustrating a first-place team is. I mean, they're in first place, and I feel completely frustrated when I watch them.
Yeah, no, I get it. You know what? The B.J. Upton thing, really, to me, is what I just can't wrap my mind around how bad he is.
He is the worst hitter in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, my buddy Carper, big Braves fan, too, he's a big Braves fan in the sense that he'll keep an eye on their scores and the standings. He's not like us where I actually watch the games.
Yeah.
Like, I DVR Braves games, and then I don't watch every single one of them, but, like, late at night when my wife's gone to bed and the dog's asleep, like, I'll fast-forward to, well, I like to watch the Braves hit, you know,
yeah.
And then if some action's picking up, I'll slow it down and watch it when they're on defense. But, so he's pretty casual, right? And he looks at me at one point, it was on Tuesday night, and he goes, "How is this guy even in the majors?"
Did you tell him how much they're paying him to?
Well, that's what I said. I go, there's a little bit more of this than just production, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Because realistically, Jordan Schaefer should be just filling that spot, and then, you know, you make do, and you get probably Gattis out there when he's healthy out and left, right?
I would agree.
Because B.J. Upton is that bad.
He's awful.
Yeah, he's horrible.
I mean, he's batting, what, about .170 right now?
Yeah, it's bad.
Leading the league in strikeouts, perhaps?
It's atrocious. But anyways, Kansas City was fun. I love that ballpark. There's nothing... nothing I love more than going to Kauffman Stadium.
Yeah.
I love it.
It's a great stadium.
I love everything about Royals baseball. It sucks when it was kind of a dream matchup to me because it was my two favorite teams, bar none. I love the Royals about as much as I do the Braves, to be brutally honest. And I love Denny Matthews. I love the K. I love everything that has to do with Royals baseball. It's phenomenal.
So you're in a win-win.
I was. I mean,
yeah.
I always think, too, like, what would I do if they would ever meet in the World Series? I would root for the Braves. I mean, it's not a whole lot of questions. You know what's crazy? Because you're a Braves fan for the same reason I'm a Braves fan, and I venture to think that a lot of people listening are probably Braves fans for the same reason, this TBS thing.
Yes.
It is crazy. I had to go to Will Call yesterday before the game, and I'm walking around. You see, the first night I had the tickets, and we were just out in the lot, and we just walked straight in. So last night I walked around the ballpark once. I took a lap. I mean, probably a little bit. I'm sure I'm off here. But from what I saw at that point, 2 hours before the game, it was 50-50 Braves-Royals fans.
That's awesome.
Last night it was in the seventh. They were down 3-0. They tied it up. And, like, the entire third baseline was chopping pretty much. It was cool.
That's great.
But and that's the way it is. I mean, I've seen the Braves play in Fenway, which that's a little bit more. You know, you got the nutty Boston fans, but you know, there are Braves fans everywhere. I've seen them play in St. Louis. It is a fun fan base to be a part of, just because we all have that thing in common. No, we did not. We're all a little bit front runners because one, they were good, but two, they were on every single night.
I spent my summers watching Terry Pendleton and Mark Lemke
Terry Pendleton.
And Tom Glavine and Maddox.
Saw Terry Pendleton. He's a hitting coach for the Braves right now.
Oh, yeah.
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 Saw him. We actually had a Terry Pendleton conversation before the game last night.
Great hitter.
Yeah. Carper compared him to somebody, and I'm trying to think of who it would be.
Not B. Jepton.
No, it was somebody in like basketball or football, just like a solid guy who you just depend on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not going to do anything flashy. Terry, who's your all-time favorite Brave?
Maddox.
Maddox is?
Yeah.
Interesting.
No. Maddox's favorite pitcher, Chipper Jones.
Well, it has to be Cameron Yarns.
Yeah.
Chipper is everybody's favorite Brave.
Yeah.
So after that, you would go with Greg Maddox?
Greg Maddox. I'm a pitcher. I mean, I kind of...
That's funny how you
lean towards that.
You go to what position you played when you were a kid.
Yep.
Because mine was Fred McGriff. I played one bag.
Okay.
The crime dog was my guy.
Oh, I love Fred McGriff.
Carper is a Dave Justice guy, a big David Justice. We saw a vintage David Justice jersey walking around last night. It was epic. And listen to this. I saw a guy. So we were in the Diamond Club area last night, which
big
is
time.
Like a bar. It's really cool. And there was a guy wearing a Chipper Jones Royals jersey.
How do you know it was Chipper Jones? Did it say Chipper Jones?
It was 10, and it said Jones. So it said, like, Royals on the front.
Yeah.
But then it had the Braves logos on the sleeves, and he had a Braves hat on. And that's another thing I saw a ton of. There are a lot of guys like me, apparently, Midwestern guys,
yep,
who watched the Braves because they were on, like, because I lived in Clarinda growing up, which is relatively close to Kansas City, within 2 hours, and I couldn't watch the Royals. We didn't. Fox Sports KC, you don't get. You get Fox Sports Midwest in Clarinda, so it's the Cardinals, the Braves, or the Cubs, you know, when you're growing up. And I don't think Fox Sports Midwest didn't exist when I was growing up, so
nope,
we couldn't watch them either. So it was the Braves or the Cubs. And so, like, you know, you root for the team that's an hour and a half away from you that you can go and watch, that your dad takes you to go watch the games. Once saw Alex Rodriguez, Ken Griffey Jr., and Jay Buhner go back to back to back in Kauffman Stadium. A great memory. But your heart automatically goes with that team, but the fan in you wants to watch a game every night. So you pick out the Braves or the Cubs. It's generally how it goes. You pick out one of the two. And so it was crazy. I probably saw 10 dudes walking around with like a Royals shirt and a Braves hat on last
night. Yeah. Well, and in the 90s, too, when we were growing up, the Braves were the best team in baseball.
Yeah.
I mean, they were winning 100 games a year.
And they were horrible there. Didn't they go from, like, last to first in 90 to 91?
91. You know, shoot, I was, what, 6, 7 years old then. So, mm-hmm. I mean, that
I remember that team, though.
Oh, yeah. Lost to the Twins.
Sid Bream. Psycho Sid. that was a fun team. Ron Gant action.
Ron Gant, yeah.
The good old days.
He had a cannon.
Mark Lemke, Jeff Blauser.
Blauser-Lemke
connection was unstoppable. They had Sid Bream over at the one bag, little Terry Pendleton at the three.
Was Otis Nixon at center?
Otis Nixon at center, yep. He was speed demon.
Oh, he was fast.
Speed demon. So you had, was David Justice around in 91?
I don't think he was there yet.
He probably wasn't there yet. This is a good bar game, though. We did this. Bloom and I do this a lot when we sit down at the keg stand. It's kind of ridiculous, actually. But we'll, the all-time greatest game to do. So if you're Fanatics, when you're listening to this and you're going to go out for this upcoming weekend or maybe for the fourth, you'll be sitting around at the barbecue with some friends. This is a great game to play. Name every player who has started an Iowa State basketball game since, just go like 2003. Because some of the quagmires that have gone through that program and started an actual game will blow you away. So Bloom and I did that at the keg stand. It was probably 2 years ago.
I bet you Bloom knew 99% of them.
Well, the thing was, like, we complimented each other well because Bloom knew more of the older stuff,
yeah,
the more historical stuff. But I was the one pulling out like the Robert Faulkners of the world, and you know what I mean, the really obscure guys. Just because I covered those teams, so I had that in my head a little bit. I don't know if Robert Faulkner actually started a game for Wade Morgan.
He was only there
for like...
He got kicked off the team halfway through the season,
yeah,
I believe.
He was contributing, though.
Yeah.
He was a good, dirty type of player where he'll do the dirty work and not complain about it.
What about, was it Reggie George or...
Reggie George.
Reggie George.
He was like a four-star Rivals kid.
Yeah.
He was in the Will Blalock class.
And then he got kicked off the team, too, didn't he? For a bad attitude, and then I never heard from him again.
Well, that... Talk about a waste of talent.
Yeah.
I mean, that guy... Like, say he was highly touted.
He had some
very highly
to him.
Touted. That was a great recruiting class. That, you know, they still did pretty good, though, those two guards.
Yep.
What a shame that they don't stay. See, that, too, like, we can talk Greg McDermott. If he catches a break and those guys come back,
He would have had a great team.
Well, they probably, like, a Tashiq Carr comes back. Who knows what they would have done on the recruiting trail at that point? But let's say you bring in Wes Johnson still.
You just don't know if you need him or Mike Taylor.
You don't know if those guys come. But I find it hard to believe that McDermott's tenure isn't drastically different if he doesn't have to fill 10 spots.
He had a lot of things that happened that were unfortunate for him at Iowa State. That just whenever it looked like he was going to succeed and something was going to go his way, just didn't.
No.
And it was tough. I mean,
it wasn't all like other people's fault. I mean, Greg would probably take some blame for a lot of this. But the way that started off, and I've talked to, and I'm sure he would go on the record with me too about it, so I'm not too concerned, but I've talked with TJ Otzelberger about it when he left Iowa State, when he went to Washington. Him and I were kind of just reminiscing on, you know, his career at Iowa State, and we talked about that, how tumultuous of a time that was when all those guys just departed. Do you remember Wayne Morgan had that exit press conference at that like really small hotel? And Steve Dace was my boss at the time, and Dace goes, "Dude, you got to have your camera rolling because I have no idea what's going to happen at this place." Because we didn't know how Wayne was going to react.
Yeah.
Wayne was very, very classy about it.
Yeah.
But I just remember all those guys showed up and stood at the back, and it was like and at that point, I'm thinking in my head, we may have a problem on our hands here as far as just what the future of Iowa State basketball is, and sure enough, that's exactly how it played out. Some things are just so hard to recover from. McDermott couldn't do it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you lost essentially the entire starting five.
And a talented one at that. Yeah. I mean, two of the better guards
we've had in the last...
Really, in program history, I think you could say.
I would agree. And Sean Taggart, I mean, he was a freshman with a lot of potential.
But he went on and did good things at Memphis.
Finished a runner-up in a national championship.
Think of what, really, though, McDermott could have done a lot of good for Sean Taggart.
You could have. Well, he was a great big man coach.
Yeah, I mean, look at Justin Hamilton.
Yep, I agree.
Justin Hamilton was crap when he came to Iowa State, and now he's an NBA player, NBA caliber player.
I agree.
How did we get off on this tangent?
This has been just, we had a list of topics of things to talk about. I don't think anything we've talked about has been on that, though.
Breaking news via email.
Let's hear it.
Kirk Herbstreit signs an extension with ESPN through 2022.
That's great. I love Kirk.
Big fan of Kirk.
I love him, yeah.
You and the ladies. All the ladies love Kirk Herbstreit. It was so hot yesterday, though. See, I'm drained right now, if you can't tell.
I can tell.
Because I played 18. Great little course, a Greg Norman course over in Independence.
Yeah.
Phenomenal course, really, if you're in the Kansas. Stone Canyon is what it's called. That was one of the most fun golf courses I've played in years.
You beat Carper? That's the main question everyone's wondering right now.
The bear's crap in the woods?
Are you being serious? I can't tell.
See, here's the deal about Adam and all football players at that. Generally, like, if you're a D1 football player.
Yes.
A general rule, unless you're like an offensive lineman, I would say, because there are some offensive linemen, not all.
Yep.
Probably not. This probably actually doesn't count for most of them because really, a Big 12 offensive lineman is a pretty good athlete most of the time.
Yeah, I would agree.
But generally, like, if you're a good D1 football player, any D1 football player, sports come pretty easy to you throughout your whole life.
Absolutely.
Now, you have to work your behind off to get to that level, regardless of how much talent you have. But
usually,
by nature, though, like, when you're growing up, you know, like, I don't... If I'm Carper, I don't play tennis, but if I wanted to go out and just beat somebody in tennis, I probably can.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure Carper was probably one of the better basketball players and baseball players. And
double-double guaranteed every night. He was going to get 17, 18 rebounds every single night. So the point is, I've played with a lot of, like, Tron is another great example. These guys, like, they're so used to just kicking everybody's butt in sports. And you get them on a golf course, and they expect it to come easy and natural. That's not how golf works. That's why Brent Bloom weighs 110 pounds, and that's obviously extreme hyperbole.
And just killed it on Saturday.
We were playing Coldwater last week. We're on the back. Bloom played well on the front. I've seen Bloom play a lot better than he did on the front. On the back, he gets into a zone.
Yep.
Bloom's one under on the back going into seven.
Going, yeah.
Hitting in seven. Point being, there's it doesn't matter what you run your 40 in or what you bench press when you go out onto a golf course. And these guys get extremely frustrated when they haven't put in the time to get the basic mechanics of golf down. And I'm not just talking about Carper now. I'm talking about a lot of football players in general at that young of an age. See, when you get to be like a hell of a golfer, is Sage Rosenfels. Well, how many rounds has that guy played?
All quarterbacks are phenomenal golfers.
They really are.
It's unbelievable.
Except Arnaud. He fits right into the Carper, Tron type mold. These guys go out there and just try and kill the damn thing. It's fun. It's fun because it's the one sport I can beat Adam in.
Yeah.
And this is what I told him yesterday. Well, I did, but I also told him this. I go, you know what's frustrating about this, Adam? He goes, what? I go, the day and the second you decide that you want to be a good golfer, 3 weeks from then you will beat me. Because that's the truth.
Yeah.
Now, it doesn't mean anything, but once that athlete, you know, once that top-of-the-line athlete decides that he wants to do it and put the time in, it's all over.
Yeah.
This is a wild podcast. This, we're talking about
all
kinds
all
of
over
stuff.
The place.
This is what I wanted to talk about. Bruce Vandevelde out at Louisiana Tech. That I didn't really want to talk about that. I'm just going over some recent headlines around here. NBA draft is tonight. Not expecting any Cyclones to be taken, although Clyburn and Babel both signed tonight.
Oh, you think they'll sign tonight?
They'll sign with somebody tonight.
Okay.
It makes more sense for these guys to go off to Europe and make money. Just does. I did a deal with Jared Holman a few years ago about that. I'm like, dude, why don't you play for the Energy?
Probably cause he's making
Like to watch you. And he's just like, financially, it makes no sense whatsoever. He's like a celebrity and rich in Greece or wherever he's at now.
Yeah. I'm sure, he's making well over six figures.
Yeah, oh yeah. If you get to his level.
Yeah.
Now, you can play in some of those weird leagues, and you're making like, have you ever read the Paul Shirley book?
No.
Oh my gosh. It's fascinating. It's just about the life of like a European League basketball player. It's way more about that than it is Iowa State. Although he digs at Iowa State quite a bit in it.
One of the reasons I haven't read it.
But that's, the reason he does that, that's just him though. He's just a skeptic.
Yeah.
If you follow Paul or if you... He is a skeptical human being about everything. That's just how he rolls. You are too, to a point.
Skeptical?
Yeah.
You know, yeah, I am a little bit. Not to where I'm going to go and kill my alma mater.
But to a point. Like, you're a guy who, when I watch a game with, like, you are, like, very critical.
So you think I'm a negative guy. This is fascinating stuff right now. I'm learning
just
a lot
like
about myself.
When it comes to sports. You're very critical. You're the guy like at Trice who's just blown up the offensive coordinator.
That is not true at all.
That's you.
That is not true. you've never even watched a football game with me before.
I don't need to watch it. I watched the Vikings with you. I know how critical you get during those things, which it's hard not to. I understand.
You're joining me on those, though.
Yeah. Anyways.
So back to the draft. So, Bab, you think both of those guys sign?
Correct.
What percentage chance do you think that one of them sticks, makes a roster? It's got to be pretty low.
This would be my very Bloom has a good preview.
I read
on
it
the draft.
Yeah,
so if you haven't read it, go and check it out. It's on our front page. I think that there's a better chance Clyburn sticks now. I think that long term, Bab will be like a Deontay.
Hard worker, good attitude, guy that you can just put on the end of the bench and you know he's going to work hard for you in practice.
And he's obviously a good defender.
Yep.
His body's phenomenal. It's, you know, it.
Say what?
Don't grin like that. Let's grow up, Adam. Grow up.
I would have worded it a little different than you did, but I understand where you're coming from.
Y'all know what I meant by that. For an NBA player, you don't have to worry about him breaking down.
Yeah.
I think that he is mentally probably tougher than Will Clyburn.
I can't argue with you on that.
So the reason why I think he sticks, he's a better shooter than probably most people give him credit for.
At the end of the year, he was shooting it as good as an Iowa State shooter I've seen.
And think about if Chris Babb isn't having to chase around Pierre Jackson, how good of a shooter he could be.
Yeah. And the thing with him, too, is the NBA range, the longer three-point line, will not bother Chris Babb at all.
And that's why I think that he's, like, he to me is the perfect guy to have at the end of your bench, like a Deontay Garrett. Deontay Garrett's a 6'4" point guard who can defend.
Yes.
How many of those do you find? Bab is, I mean, he, He kind of has the Stinson tweak to him, too, though, where it's like he does a lot of things good. What does he do that's great? He defends, but that's not as valued in the NBA, is it?
He's a little bit of a tweener like Stinson, though, too, because he's not quite tall enough to guard those wings. And Bloom alluded to this in his blog that he wrote. He's not tall enough to really guard those 6'7 guys.
I don't know. I think that Clyburn, though, I think he has his, an enormous amount of upside, according to these guys.
Yeah.
Because I'll never talk about it all the time, but before Royce White started playing, I asked Fred down in Kansas City at Media Days, who's the best NBA prospect on your team? This is on the record, and he said, Will Clyburn. Clyburn and just... So my point, though, and it, forget what Clyburn did during his time at Iowa State. Just forget about that for now, for a moment, okay?
Yeah.
He has that just raw talent, God-given stuff that intrigues the NBA executives.
He does.
He still has that.
You know, all year last year, I said that I thought Will Clyburn was our best player. But age, it hurts him.
Yeah, and you know who he reminds me so much of? Is Harrison Barnes, in the sense that I think he's got all this talent, but neither one of those guys ever seemed to really want to be the man.
Harrison's getting it, though.
He's getting it. He's totally getting it, and it's fun to watch. I'm a Harrison Barnes fan.
As am I.
I actually, whenever I can find Golden State on, I try and watch them just because of Harrison. But it took him a while to develop that.
Yes, it did.
That has always reminded me of Clyburn. That's why I was so... I mean, I wrote a 2,000-word column on this when Clyburn took over that Oklahoma game down in Kansas City this year. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There weren't many games. BYU comes to mind, but that wasn't what I would call like a clutch performance. That was more just like dude was on fire.
Kansas State game, he played really well. Yeah. Just to win that Kansas State game.
I'm talking like a game that a guy totally takes over.
Yeah. No, he did. He absolutely did.
And that to me was the most impressive. That's what I'll remember Will Clyburn in an Iowa State uniform is that game.
And he tried to against Ohio State. It was just taken from him.
Yes. He got robbed. Just robbed. So, draft tonight.
Yeah, who's right now, on record, who's the best player in this draft? If you are the NBA GM, jeez, who are you taking? It's a terrible draft.
It's a bad draft. It's a situation where I haven't done a ton of research on it. Like I said, I've been out of town, and last week was kind of nuts. My spring's just been nuts. I can't believe the fourth is almost here. Like, where is this thing gone?
It snuck up on us.
Yeah,
media football
days,
seasons.
Dude, freaking media day down in KC is like 25 days away. Insane.
Are you starting to put your questions together?
No. I got a lot to do before they get to that point.
You should put that up on CF. You know, give the fans, say, hey, what do you want me to ask Mac Brown?
Oh, God.
What do you want me to ask
Gary
Patterson?
They'd kick me out if I started asking what, like, the fanatics want.
Well,
They're fanatics. I'm going nuts on
Mac Brown. Great questions. Great answers.
All right, I'm going to pull up Bloom's column, and I'm going to look at Bloom's mock draft. You can find it at CycloneFanatic.com. If I had the first pick, if I'm starting my own team,
yeah,
is that what you're saying? Yep. I'm not going to draft Nerlens Noel.
Neither am I.
Because to me, I think it would be fascinating to do research over, like, the last 15 years, centers taken in the lottery and point guards taken in the lottery, which ones pan out.
Centers are definitely a bigger risk. I mean, besides Dwight Howard.
Yeah, because
how
if
many
they get hurt, it's like...
To me, he scares me like Greg Oden would scare me.
Yeah, but Noel makes sense, I guess, if you're Cleveland when you have Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, but they already have Tristan Thompson.
Yeah, I don't know. If I'm a big Otto Porter guy.
I've been waiting for you to say that you're a Georgetown guy.
I'm a Georgetown guy.
But, I'm surprised it took so long for you to say Otto Porter.
But at the same time, it's like...
Is he Jeff Green? Is he another Jeff Green?
Yeah, you know, I just don't know if he's a...
I think he's a better all-around player than Jeff Green.
No, I think
Jeff
so
Green's
too.
Been a great pro the last year or so.
Jeff Green was pretty good at Georgetown, too.
He was. He was really good. Ben McLemore's got the highest upside.
I would probably, like, if you're telling me, Williams, you're starting a team.
Yep.
I'd probably lean towards Ben McLemore.
Yeah. I really like Victor Oladipo, too, but I just... To me, he's almost a tweener. He's a great defensive player. I don't know offensively... What is he?
I don't know.
Yeah, give me McLemore. I'm with you.
I would take McLemore, and this will make a lot of people sick. I like it ain't going to happen at the Bulls because I'm a Bulls fan at 20. I think like a Jeff Withey would be a perfect fit for the Bulls.
Someone to come in behind.
Yeah, just to protect the rim. You know what I mean?
Yep. They're a defensive-minded team.
Yeah. I think that he, because they don't need a guy, or they do, if they need a scorer in the sense that they need another two, because I don't think they're going to re-sign all those guys. I mean, Nate Robinson's probably seen his last day as a Bull. A lot of the, last year was so screwed up with the Bulls, too, it's hard telling what a priority should be. They need a two, and they need a five or a four, and I think that, to me, get a guy like we just talked about who does something great. Jeff Withey will be in the league for a decade because he can block shots.
Yeah, he's
and he can rebound.
Yep, he's not going to be an elite rebounder, but he'll do a good enough job.
He'll be fine.
Yeah,
for what they need him for.
Yep,
I don't think they'll take him at 20 because he's more of a projected like into the first.
He'll probably second. Go early second.
Yeah, and like there's probably better players available, but obviously I'm biased too because I've seen Jeff Withey play so many times in my life. But I just feel like that another Big 12 guy who I think will be a sleeper is Kabongo.
Do you think so?
Yeah, I think he'll be better than what most people. They're saying second round for him, according to Bloom. And I to me, like Mike Kabongo, 2 years ago, you say, where's this guy going to get drafted?
He's a lottery pick.
Yeah.
He's got NBA speed.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just something.
Again, does this guy do something great? And Mike Kabongo does.
Yep, he's got NBA speed. He'll be a good defender.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, he's no different than when you look at like a Darren Collison. I mean, to me, he could be that kind of player. Not a great point guard, but a solid point guard.
I need a point guard and I'm flirting at the end of the first round, to me, Mike Kabongo's he's probably dropped because of his off-the-court issues, which is stupid.
Yeah.
But he did not ever really play his best ball at Texas. He a regime that is toppling down there in Austin.
He never had great surrounding talent.
Yeah, he never had good talent around him.
For Texas.
Not what he thought he was getting when he signed on the dotted line with the Longhorns. I think he's asleep. I think he's going to be a good NBA player.
This one person who I'm not sold on being a good NBA player, and a lot of people are going to think I'm crazy, Trey Burke. Not
really?
Sold on.
Why not?
Because he's short. He's about 6 feet tall, which in the NBA, it's going to make a bigger difference. He's not an elite. He's not an elite athlete with speed and quickness. I mean, he's kind of crafty, but I don't see it. I see like a DJ Augustine in him. Not better than DJ Augustine. DJ Augustine, he's terrible.
Yeah, he's pretty bad.
He's awful.
Bloom has him, Trey Burke, going to Detroit. That would be an interesting match.
They would sell tickets there for sure.
That would be a big home run.
They'd love that.
This sucks, though, because my favorite event that's not a game to cover, though, not signing day, nothing like that. I love covering the draft. And the last... it seems like 3 years or so. I mean, you had Brackens.
Yep.
The year before that, we were all waiting around on Deontay because we thought he would get drafted.
We did.
That didn't happen, but nonetheless, it still made me cover the draft. This year, I don't believe at all that Clyburn or Babb get drafted. Bloom gives them an outside shot. I'd be shocked if one of those guys goes.
No, because the reason is when they get to, end of the first round, it starts becoming international players. Players that they can pick and stash away and hope that they can just, maybe turn into players down the road. So,
like Justin Hamilton getting taken last year by the Heat.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you even look at what happened with Deontay Garrett. They were drafting, players you've never even heard of. The Lakers drafted some guy that scored 1 point per game out in Europe. Well, and you'll never hear from that guy again.
And as Fred put it, too, I remember right after Deontay didn't get drafted, I interviewed Fred. And at that point, too, you almost have, like, in the background – the agents and whatnot, hoping the guy doesn't get drafted, even more than football. You always hear that at the end of the football draft.
Yeah.
To me, in football, I get that argument, but I also think that just based off of guys I've interviewed over the years, you're treated differently as a draft pick when you get to camp. And the way you're treated as a free agent can be demoralizing to some guy if he's not mentally tough enough. To Jake Knott, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But most guys aren't built mentally like Jake Knott is. But I think in the NBA, it's completely different. Like, because there's no guarantee. You know what I mean? There's no guarantees in the NFL either. I think in the NBA, if you're going to be late second, I'd love to see percentage of second rounders that make the league.
And their second rounders aren't even a guaranteed contract, I believe.
Only a first round pick is a guaranteed contract.
It's really no different.
Yeah. Plus, I mean, like I say, there's just so many options in basketball. If you don't make the NFL, it's like, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
You can't really make
a
living.
That's a great point. That's a really good point.
Yeah.
I mean, those guys make – I don't think they pay tax out in Europe, do they? I think they make that money and they just get –
that's another reason why Holman is so adamant about that.
And
the D-League's really not a good option if I'm a player like that. I mean, the only thing the D-League is you're close and you have an affiliation with an NBA team.
Yeah.
But you're making not even a fraction of what you can make out there if you're a top-of-the-line guy.
So why don't you go out and play in Europe and then come back for the NBA tryouts every year and see if
like
you
can... Like Deontay Garrett.
Yeah, and see if you can do that.
Yeah.
Rather than waste your time in the NBA.
That's what I would do, and I think any of those Iowa State guys would be good European players. Corey Lucius would be a phenomenal European point guard.
Why is that? Give me the reason on that
one. Well, because he can score. What I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's all about shooting out there.
You got to be able to shoot.
Yeah.
Yep.
And he's another guy I think a lot of these Iowa State guys we're going to find out were probably better than they were given credit for. Just there were so many shooters on that team.
That's why it's one of my favorite teams I've ever watched. Yeah, frustrating when we lose those close games, heartbreaking, but God, they were fun to watch. That was as much fun of the Iowa State basketball season as I've ever had.
That will be a season to me that goes back to the 2005 football season. Very
comparable. What if?
Where it's all about what ifs.
Yep. Yep.
It was still a good season for Iowa State standards. 7-5, you go to a bowl game. But that they should have been 10-2 in the Holiday Bowl playing the Big 12 championship.
At worst.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that season. I don't even. Why do you have to bring that up today?
Well, and
I was having a good morning.
That's probably too a little bit unfair to basketball to compare it to that.
I would agree.
Colossal meltdown of a year.
So now that we're talking, I mean, we got another year now where we got transfers coming in.
Yeah,
we got DeAndre Kane coming into play.
Yep.
How are we going to be next year, Williams?
Oh, I think.
Is it going to be a better team?
This has been a fascinating offseason.
It has been. It's
well, in the sense that. If we have this conversation in February, no, not February.
Let's just
say I'm getting my months mixed
May.
Up. Yeah, yeah. No, late March.
Okay.
Right after the season.
Yep.
I'm going, dude. The Big 12 is gonna suck next year.
Yes.
So then the Oklahoma State guys stay. Kansas gets Wiggins.
And a transfer
the
from
Baylor.
Memphis.
Yeah, the Baylor dudes stick around.
Yep.
Really, the only attrition was Angel Rodriguez in Kansas State, which is a huge dagger to them.
Huge.
Well, this is the downfall of Bruce Weber has already begun.
Because he's just...
Much as I predicted when he was hired, he'll be good for a year or two. He cannot recruit at the level that he needs to. The downfall of Bruce Weber is already upon us.
Is Bruce Weber Greg McDermott, a really good X's and O's coach who just doesn't relate to those players?
Or maybe. I don't know. I mean, look what he did at Illinois, though. The only time he won was with Bill Self's guys.
Bill Self's guys, yeah.
So, before the Rodriguez and Kane news, I had Iowa State and Kansas State. Basically, you're flipping a coin.
Okay.
So I got Oklahoma State or Kansas. I'm going Kansas, but I totally buy into the Oklahoma State. I love Oklahoma State. I love those guys. Like I love the way they play. So whatever. You're kind of flipping a coin there. I think you got to put Baylor at 3 just based off of talent.
Yep.
At the same time, I don't think anybody would be shocked.
If they finish 6th?
Yeah. You know?
No, I mean...
But still, the talent is there. They have
it is.
2 lottery picks. And they've got a guy coming in. His name slips my mind off. Cherry. Cherry's the last name. Point guard. He's like Pierre Jackson Light. JUCO. Top JUCO point guard in America. Same thing. So, I mean, talent is... And I actually think it could be addition by subtraction in the sense that this guy's probably not going to shoot as much and turn over as much as Pierre Jackson did.
So maybe they'll actually get the ball down low to their studs
yeah,
like
maybe
they should have.
They'll actually do what they should have been doing all along.
Yep.
So I think they'll be better.
Okay.
I have Iowa State at 4. But now that they have DeAndre Kane, that really is a shot in the arm.
It's a game changer.
It changes the whole season because when you looked at Iowa State, there are 2 questions. You go, they don't have a point guard, a proven one.
Yeah.
You have Monte Morris who... After watching him...
You like him more.
I like him a lot more now.
Yep.
I was always thought he was going to be good just based off of everything. I think he reminds me, in a weird way, of Deontay Garrett.
You told me that. I haven't seen him yet.
Well, they're different type players, but they conduct themselves in the same manner. If you talk to them, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
This is hard to...
You're talking personality-wise more so than
personality-wise, yeah. And Monte, too, what's encouraging about Monte Morris is, I don't have the stats in front of me, but the rate he's shooting the 3 ball. Because this is how I break down the Capital City League. Inside the paint, whatever you get inside the paint, I'm going to take maybe 10% of that and apply that to the Big 12.
Okay? Yep.
I don't think much of that can transfer over
yeah.
in the Cap City League. It's trash buckets against bad competition. But the outside shooting is where I think carries over the most. And the fact that Monte Morris is shooting the ball the way he is, he was like 9 for 11 in his first game from three-point range or something just stupid like that. That was what I questioned about him. His ability to score from the outside, he's much better than I thought he was going to be.
That's where I guess I'm when you say you compare him to Deontay Garrett, I'm not, I guess I don't see it because I
well,
look
I'm talking
at him
more Deontay towards the end of his career. Because Deontay was horrible from beyond the arc. What did he shoot? Like
20%.
Yeah, it was bad.
Yeah, it wasn't very good. And Morris, you look at him, and he doesn't have the length, obviously, that Deontay had.
He's taller than he looks bigger than 6'2 or whatever they have him listed as. He's a 6'3. He's got to be.
See, I haven't seen him. I can't comment, I guess.
I'm going to see what they have him listed
as. I bet you they have him listed like 6'1.
I don't know if I've done 6'1, yeah.
6'1.
He's at least 6'2. But you know what? He probably isn't, though. He looks lengthier than that.
Yeah. That usually means they're skinny.
Yeah, he's skinny. No, yeah. He needs to put on weight.
Yeah, that's what it usually means.
Yeah.
Where Deontay was 6'4.
Back to the original point, that the question was point guard or Boo Boo. Boo Boo has to be better than he was last year based off of everything he went through.
Yep, I agree.
But now you have a legitimate guy. And my hope for Iowa State is that Morris is so good you got to keep him on the floor as much as possible, right?
Yeah.
And then you could slide Kane to the two and let him primarily play the two.
Do you slide him to the two or do you slide him to the three?
Whatever. I don't care. There's really not much of a difference with what they're doing anyways.
It's more about defense. Who do you guard on the
defense? Because Matt Thomas is legit. Like, he's locked in as a starter.
Yeah.
He is a four-year starter, goes down as one of the best of all time at Iowa State.
So is this fair to say there's four locked-in starters right now? Kane, Thomas, Niang, and Edgem. And then the two guys fighting for the last standing spot would either be Hogue or Morris, and it just depends on what Hoiberg wants to do. Would you agree with that?
Hogue or Morris? Let me think here. Who else could we be missing out on? Yeah,
fans are big on Dorsey Walker.
I would say probably Hogue.
Yeah,
because he does something. I mean, he's such a good defender, and
brings what Babb brought to you a little bit.
Yeah,
as far as defense goes,
and he knows his role, and that's what he wants his role to be, which is that's half the battle.
Yep, I agree.
But
So you think right now the starting lineup's pretty much locked in?
I don't know if it's locked in. I agree with you that one's probably still up for grabs.
Yeah.
I think Morris probably could potentially work his way into that. And I think it's all going to depend on that chemistry. Like, how is the team playing? Are they playing better with Kane at the one? Are they playing better with him at the two?
Yeah.
As far as chemistry goes, I don't know. And a lot of people are going to say Dorsey Walker. I don't think he's ready to start.
Yeah.
I think he's better than I thought he was going to be too.
I'm looking forward to getting to the Capital City League just to look at him. I hear good things.
Looks good.
Yeah,
looks good. I mean, they all do. Naz Long looks better.
And you know what?
Bluford to me is, I'm waiting for him to go off.
It's just a matter of time, I'm sure. What did he do last night?
Hold on, I can find that out for you.
Did he shoot 25 threes again?
That was awesome. Last night, Bluford had 25, 7 for 13 from three-point range. So I'm cool with that percentage.
That's a great percentage.
I mean, he shot 40. Travis Hines and I were arguing about this. Because Hines is kind of like, dude, he's a chucker. Which he is.
Yep.
And I'm like, dude, he shot 40% with being double-teamed, face-guarded, whatever. I mean, I think that Bluford has a career where he's like 3 or 4 games a year goes off. 18, 21 points.
Hits 6, 7 threes.
And then the other games, like if he comes out and starts 0 for 3, you just yank him because he's going to be a liability on defense. But the whole Fred compared him to Tyrus McGee thing, I don't really think is fair. He's not Tyrus McGee.
Yeah.
But he's that type of player with the spark plug, you know?
I
think that's what Fred means by that. But I think a lot of fans hear that and they go, oh, he's just like Tyrus McGee. Tyrus was the best sixth man in basketball for 2 years. Like, this kid, Bluford's not there yet.
Tyrus McGee is still the best three-point shooter I've seen at Iowa State. And that's Jake Sullivan. Tyrus McGee hit some of the hardest three-pointers I've ever seen.
Yeah, and just, you know, I agree with you completely.
And he was insane.
The guy who I think now that Amardi's not going to be at Iowa State, to me, there's more pressure on Percy Gibson this offseason than anybody.
Absolutely.
Because, like, for real, if you're Bill Self and you're game planning against Iowa State,
get the two bigs in foul trouble.
Just get one of them. Yeah. Because you take one of those guys out of the game for Iowa State, it's a completely different team.
We got to go small. Or he put Percy Gibson in.
It's just like last year.
Yeah.
I mean, it was the same thing they were doing last year.
I can't argue with
you. So, like, the thing is, I think Amarty was a good, safe guy that you could put in there, not to give you Edgem / Niang production, but he's a body.
An athletic body.
A very athletic body.
Who could defend and rebound for
you.
Yeah.
So, like, what else do you have now? Because Adozie's not ready. I'll tell you that right now.
You have Gibson, and that's it.
So that's why Percy Gibson has to...
He has to play better. He has to. We got to see a little bit more of that freshman production. And really, honest to God, I don't even care if he scores offensively. I just want to see him rebound better and defend better.
Play a little defense, man.
I mean, scoring is obviously a plus, but
yeah.
I think we're going to have enough scores out there that if we can just get some defense out of him, that's where we need to be.
I agree.
DeAndre Kane, though, I really think that he takes us from an NIT team to an NCAA tournament team.
That's a very fair statement. That's a very fair statement. It seems like a bold statement, but it's a very fair statement.
Because, yeah, we were just so young at the point guard position where we're going to be better down low next year than we were this last year. We are, just because Niang's a year older, Edgem's a year older, and Gibson's a year older.
Yeah.
I mean, it can't be worse, can you?
It'd be hard.
Yeah.
It'd be hard.
Hey, you heard anything good about Percy? Has he been working pretty hard on the weights?
I don't know. I haven't heard.
You got to get on that, Williams.
I need to.
I mean, what do you
I thought
get
that
for?
Percy... He caught some flack on the board that first guy. I thought he looked fine when I saw him, though.
That's because they don't like him chucking threes, but people got to realize.
But it's the Cap City. Let the kids do. I mean, just come on. Don't take it too seriously.
They're there for the fans more than anything.
They love the fans.
Yeah, though, yeah. That's what they're there for. I mean, it's no different than just an all-star game, an NBA all-star game, where you see, like, Dwight Howard get a rebound and dribble all the way down the court and chuck up a three. I mean, it's no different.
Yeah.
So Percy Gibson, as long as he's down low when the season starts and not shooting threes, I think we can all just give him a little bit of a break this summer.
Well, I had another topic ready for the podcast, but we're already at 41 minutes.
What was this topic?
Well, I want to do, and I don't want to talk about it now because it's a good topic that we could talk about for like an hour.
Okay.
So I want to save it for another podcast.
Okay.
And then we'll just do it that way. Because, like I say, we've talked for 40 minutes now, and I really don't even know what we've talked about. But we hope you've enjoyed the Channel Seed podcast today here at CycloneFanatic.com. Seeds been shipped at work. Check them out at channel.com. What are you doing this weekend?
I'm actually going with my wife to visit her grandparents in Davenport.
Well, that sounds like a doozy.
Oh, it'll be a good time. They got something big planned for us. I don't know what it is.
Nice.
Yeah. You know what? It's always fun. You know, Julie's grandparents, she's really close to, and we try to get out there maybe 2-3 times a year to go visit them. So we'll head out there tomorrow afternoon and come back Sunday. Maybe I'll get a little golf in Sunday afternoon.
Mm, I'm playing the prestigious Clarinda Country Club on Saturday.
Are you?
Yeah. Looking forward to that.
What can you get beers at there? Those small towns, they usually give you beers for about $1.50.
A little more than that, I think.
Yeah?
Probably a couple bucks a beer.
Still way better.
Hell of a lot better than anything you pay here.
Yeah, where you're $4 or $5 a beer.
$4 for a can of beer. Just makes you sick.
Have you made a dent in that Busch Light yet?
Yep.
Have you?
Yep.
That's good.
Good dent in it this weekend.
There you go.
Or this past week. It was, it's ice cold, man. There's nothing beats it, though. Like, we were...
You were getting mocked on the boards about your love for Busch Light.
Who was mocking me?
There's a thread about what's Paul Rhodes drinking or something like that, and people are ripping on you saying that no American really truly likes Busch Light, and you're full of crap.
Screw those guys. For real, though, like, we were... So the one other thing I talked about my love of going to a Royals games is the Boulevard. Because that's like...
I love Boulevard.
If it's not Busch Light, my favorite, like, craft beer by far is Boulevard.
Yeah.
And they have this new summer seasonal. It's called Zone.
Solid.
It's awesome. It puts the Sam Adams summer ale to shame.
I'm not a huge fan of the Sam Adams. I mean, it's okay, but it doesn't do
to me. That's just so thick.
Yeah.
But yeah. This Boulevard Zone is the best seasonal summer beer I've had. And so I was thinking about that last night. So I was taking those down. And it made me appreciate Busch Light, though. Because, you can have like 10 of them and you feel light.
Yeah. Oh, that's if you're going to go tailgate at Jack Trice Stadium, that's why you got to get Busch Light.
I completely agree. And I bet a lot of the farmers that buy seeds from channel.com,
they drink Busch Light.
They probably
for sure.
agree with me.
Yeah.
All right, Adam, we'll have a good weekend.
Well, we got to do a plug real quick.
Here. Oh, okay.
We got to do a plug.
What for what?
We are going.
What's going on?
Cyclone Fanatic has taken a bus down to Kansas State November 2nd, heading from Des Moines to Manhattan. We're going to take two buses. We've got signups people already, we got 14 people signed up in 24 hours already, and we're 5 months away from the game.
So I don't have anything to do with this. This is all your work.
Yep.
If I go, is there going to be a Bill Snyder meet and greet?
We actually were working on that, but he found out that we were affiliated with Brent Bloom, and he said he wants no part.
Bloom like calls him like a zombie. He's like so mean to the old guy.
He's like, I want nothing to do with Cyclone Fanatic after listening to what Brent Bloom says about me.
Well, don't worry, Mr. Snyder, because not many people, even the folks in Ames, want anything to do with Cyclone Fanatic. We got a bunch of just shenanigans going on anymore.
Oh yeah, so the trip. I mean, it'll be fun. I mean, you went down to the bowl game with us. Had a great time.
I had to be in charge of the bus.
Yeah,
I didn't like that though.
Why not?
There was too much pressure. Because here I'm a control freak, right?
Yeah, you just got to let it go.
Well, no, I have to learn to trust other people, and it wasn't you, but like we pull into Memphis, and you're like, well, I haven't talked to the lady at the hotel yet. We knew we had rooms, right? Well, I get there, and they're like, oh. We don't have your keys for you yet. And I'm like,
they'd have made up, yeah.
Well, see, that crap, I don't like being in charge of 200 people. I don't like it. Not a fan.
So you were never destined to be a teacher.
No, and I'm not destined to be a damn travel agent either.
Well, the good thing about this trip is it's one day down, one day back, so we don't have to worry about the hotels.
So you're going to have a bus, and my dad's going to do a bus.
Yes,
correct?
Mr. Williams.
See, he's like... I mean, that's the bus to be on, though.
It really is.
A lot of these
whoever's
people.
On my bus is going to be groaning. They're going to be ticked.
Yeah.
And I don't blame them.
I mean, my dad's like a celebrity walking around
he
nowadays.
He is. He's got a mixed CD.
Oh, gosh.
Of, you know, he's got, I mean, he's got Don't Stop Believing. He's got Sweet Caroline. He's got it all.
It's a good fan CD, but I don't ever want to hear it outside of Jack Trice. He's got that stupid Storm Warning song by Harvey Hayes.
He does. I just put it in sometimes, and I just, you know, let the...
No, it's a good CD. Dad's passionate about these trips. He does a nice job.
He does. He does a great job.
I wish that we could give him, like, a full-time job just being, like, a Cyclone Fanatic tour guide. He would be awesome at it.
We got to get shirts made up for him, and maybe I'll even throw one on, too.
Yeah.
My wife, Julie, is actually going to make her first appearance. She's going to go down to this one.
Really?
Yeah, she's going to do it. She's going to see what all the fuss is about.
Jake and Owen?
No, we'll leave them.
They're not coming?
They're not coming. We got to work that out.
Owen's going to go to his first game this year?
Yeah, he's going to go.
Young?
No, he'll go. He'll be one by then.
All right.
He'll be ready. He'll probably put a football in his hands. He could probably already throw a football at least 20, 30 yards.
He could throw one farther than me. I'll guarantee
he's
you.
He's a big boy.
All right, Kansas State bus trip. Again, Adam said 14, but that's only been in a day.
That's 24 hours.
Yeah.
And like I said, we're 5 months away from that game.
Yeah, so honestly, like I would say by the middle of July, those are sold out, probably.
I wouldn't be surprised if it's sold out here, in the next week or two.
You should, too, because it's like we're not adding buses.
No.
This isn't like the bowl trip where there is a supply and demand type. This is it. We're not doing more than two buses.
Because Chris is just refusing to go help out.
No, it's not that. It's the ticket thing.
It is a ticket thing.
Because the Kansas game last year, Kansas is begging people to go to games.
They actually paid us to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And... Kansas State, I mean, it's sold out. It's a sold out game.
It is, yep. So we had to get the tickets. We got the tickets through Iowa State.
Yeah.
Got them all ordered. That's a cool thing, too. You go as a group, you get to sit by your best buddies. You tell me who you want to sit by, you'll 6, 8, 10 tickets by.
And again, I don't have anything to do with this. I'm just an outsider. I would get on this soon.
I would agree, yes.
And it's not a deal either where you can, we'll decide here in a couple months when it's closer to the season. No, because the reason why we're doing this in the middle of June is because of the ticket situation.
Yes.
It's a hard ticket.
It is.
This is not Kansas. So
this is a team that was...
And that's why it's a little bit more, too.
Yeah.
It's a farther trip, and the tickets... I mean, we got those Kansas tickets for a ridiculous price. These are...
3 times more expensive.
Yeah. Yes. So we're doing what we can.
Yep.
Adam, good work today.
Thanks, bud.
I appreciate it. NBA draft tonight. Vandeveld's gone. I think that's all we got for you here today at CycloneFanatic.com. Thanks to our friends at Channel Seeds. Visit them today at channel.com. I'm Chris Williams. He's Adam Gray. So long, everybody.
Go Cyclones.